Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com. Full Service
Radio. Hey, beautiful people, Paul Wharton here. So this has been a week full of getting off. Get your mind out of the gutter, you heathens. It seems that Jussie Smollett and the president got off this week. Well, sort of. Mueller couldn't quite say the president was free from obstructing justice, but said there was no collusion. And Jussie Smollett also said there was no collusion, and the Chicago PD and the mayor of Chicago said, oh no you didn't, and accused Jussie of whitewashing the charges using his black privilege. And if he did, aren't the brothers due a victory? Should President Trump be the only guy getting off? Ooh, gross. Pass me my martini and play the music. This is Politics. Welcome to Politics with me, Paul Wharton, and my trusty sidekick this week, again, the Darnell. Coming to you from the gorgeous Line Hotel in Washington, D.C., with my homeboy, Jack Inslee, and Full Service Radio. Hey, Jack.
What's good, Paul?
Yeah, man. We back in the saddle.
You clean out that throw up in your mouth yet?
Ooh. So regular listeners will know my good friend, Darnell, who's actually a few minutes late right now. But don't worry, we're going to hold it down. And he's not to be confused with, I'll tell you later. It's a whole story. This has been an incredible week as the Jussie Smollett case takes another insane turn. Honestly, there'll be a drama made about this one day. You know, you couldn't write this stuff, or could you? We're also going to talk about the celebrity university scandals, Cardi B's revelation that she drugged and robbed men. And also, I want to share some thoughts on Design for the Spring that I did on Good Morning Washington the other day. But politics would not be possible without our fabulous partners. The Bitar Cosmetic Institute. You know, the Bitar Cosmetic Institute, Dr. Bitar and his staff are truly the best in DC for plastic surgery, skincare, injectables, and aesthetics. They are the people I trust when I need a little zhuzhing up. I can't speak highly enough about their medical esthetician Z at the Fairfax location. She works with me using hydrotherapy, Exilis 360 skin tightening, and I just got Cool Sculpting last week to get rid of that stubborn belly fat. Just in time for a summer of fun. Check them out online at BitarInstitute.com. Metro Offices, DC's premier co-working space with several locations throughout Maryland, Virginia, and DC. Whether you need a virtual office, meeting space, or a permanent office like me, Metro has you covered. For a tour, call Jonas at the DuPont Circle location, 202-261-3500, or check them out online at metrooffice10.com. Hungry Chefs. Do you want to be the office hero? Well, you need Hungry. They have the best chefs in the DC region. I'm talking former White House chefs, Food Network stars, and James Beard Award winners. Check them out online at tryhungry.com. Ask for Taylor and use code Paul Wharton to get 10% off your first order. And don't forget Paul Wharton Style for all things beauty, fashion, lifestyle, travel, and inspiration. Head on over to paulwhartonstyle.com and get in the conversation. So, Jack, I haven't seen you.
I've been traveling.
You get around. I thought I traveled, but you really get around.
I'm just trying to keep up with you.
So, you know, I know you've been moving around a lot this week, but have you seen the news, of course, about Jussie Smollett?
I sure have.
So we're not going to spend a crazy amount of time on this. As you know, we covered it a few weeks ago with Monique Presley, and now things have changed a bit. So Jussie Smollett claimed that he was attacked by two men that yelled MAGA country and all sorts of other things, as you all know. Then the Chicago PD filed charges claiming he had faked the event using two Nigerian extras, that one of them was a trainer from the set of Empire. Now, all the charges against Jussie have been dropped by the prosecution. So this is huge and really throws out a lot of questions. My personal thought is when the charges were dropped, and Jussie came out of the courtroom to make a statement. I thought that was really a great opportunity for him to just kind of be humble. My dad always says, son, you can always be magnanimous. You don't have to be right. You don't have to be the loudest. You know, sometimes you just have to lay low. And in the court of public opinion, I guess he was saying, let me come out and say the charges were dropped. As I said, I've been telling the truth from the beginning and I'm innocent. But right after that, the Chicago PD and the mayor came out and said, actually, he's not innocent at all. Do they even know why the charges were dropped? Do you know, Jack?
No, I don't know.
I don't think that they do, but and I think that it's so funny now that the president got off this week. He didn't actually completely get off, but now that Mueller says that there was no collusion, now he's tweeting today that the FBI is going to look further into Jussie Smollett. So, I mean, it ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. Why should President Trump be the only one to get off scot-free?
Beats me. Really beats me.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's kind of crazy. And, you know, is there such a thing? I was checking out the internet and people were talking so upset that Jussie could have gotten off. For one thing, if I ever get in trouble, I'm calling Mark Garagos. I mean, he just seems to come in and get people right off. One thing that I was thinking when the Chicago PD did the initial press conference, it's like too much information. They said too much. It was almost like a trial. And I think one place where they might have got caught in a trick bag is when they said that Jussie sent that letter to himself. The FBI then later came out and said that they're not sure that that actually happened. And, you know, that kind of called into question the Chicago PD's, you know, reliability in terms of this case. So that's all happening. We're going to watch that. You know, Jack, I was telling you something before the show about a friend of mine that said something to me.
Yes.
And you had a pretty strong opinion about it. So it was a friend's birthday the other day. And I called her and said, you know, happy birthday. And she said she had gone on a photo shoot. And I said, oh, that's fantastic. And I said, oh, you're coming up right behind me, huh? Because she was saying, oh, you taught me how to take the best pictures. I said, oh, yeah, girl. I said, you're coming up right behind me, huh? And she said, oh, no, I'm not. But there's all these other people gunning for you. And then I say that I'm always defending you. And I say, well, he's really not that bad. And I'm like, well, who is it? And then she's like, oh, I'm just getting to dinner. I'll call you back after dinner. And I said, wait a minute. How are you going to say to me that people are gunning for me, bring that up to me after I call to wish you a happy birthday, and then claim you have to go to dinner? What do y'all think about that? Darnell just got here late, as always. Hey, Darnell.
Hi, my love. I'm sorry. How are you? Hi, everybody.
It's good to see you. You look extra fresh today.
Oh, darling.
You've had work?
I was coming to see you, darling. You always have work, darling. Now, we have to blend.
We do
it's
have to blend.
It's called the blended family.
Yes. Did you just hear what I just brought up about a friend?
Tell in.
Okay, so Darnell just got here, so let me just say again. I called to wish a friend of mine a happy birthday the other day. Mm-hmm. She said that she had gone on this photo shoot and she was always apprehensive about taking pictures. And I had taught her a lot about taking good pictures. So I said, oh, girl, okay, you coming up behind me, huh? I got to watch out for you. And she says, well, it's not me you got to watch out for. It's all these other people gunning for you. God, and I always have to defend you. I'm like, he's not that bad.
Oh, really?
That's what she said. And then I said to her, well,
fuck her.
Yeah, tell it.
Fucker.
I said, well, who? And she said, oh, I'm just arriving at dinner. Everybody's looking at me funny. I got to go. I'll call you back after dinner.
Okay.
So, of course, she didn't call me back after dinner. Right. So then the next day, she texts and says, oh, don't worry about it. It's just, you know, it's nobody important and just keep looking forward and all this kind of shit. But I'm just like, the question I pose to you all is, if you really care about someone or they mean anything to you, do you really bring them that bullshit? Why not just keep it to yourself?
Well, not only do you keep it to yourself, but you will stand in the place of me when they're telling you the bullshit, mm-hmm. and just be like, "Oh, really? I have not noticed that in him. Do you know him?
Right?
Or where do you know him from?
Mm-hmm.
What are these accusations for? That's a friend.
That's a friend.
You don't have to come back to me and tell me what the person said.
Handle that on the spot.
You handle that on the spot. Fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
That's my whole thing. Fuck them all.
What do you think, Jack?
I'm sorry,
that's
Jack.
It right there. He said it.
Fuck them all. Because guess what? Some stuff just goes with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
You're Paul Wharton. I am the Darnell Perkins. It's expected.
Yes.
Some are going to love us, and then there are going to be people who are going to hate our guts. And for both of them, God bless you.
God bless them all. Now, let me tell you something, Darnell. I normally, that doesn't concern me what the person said. What concerns me is the person that told me that has been around me for years. I mean, very closely acquainted. She's been in my personal space. And I don't know. I just thought it was coming from a malicious place. I just didn't like the way that felt. I was much more concerned about the way that made me feel than some random person, you know, talking about me. I don't really care.
But
about
is
that.
This your first time having those particular thoughts towards this person? Has she ever in any way kind of made you feel uncomfortable?
She's or made me feel that she's really into gossip. You know, she's
okay.
into gossip and being messy a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So when a person shows you who they are, then that's who
believe
they are.
Believe them.
You must believe them, whether they're your friends or not. I have messy little friends.
Yeah.
We all have messy friends.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the ones that you really expect to come to your defense when you're not there.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
It goes with the territory. Again, they're going to talk good. They're going to talk bad. They're going to say this. They're going to say that. But it's up to you. It's up to me. As it's almost like someone says, you and Paul, oh my God, I swear, you two together, you guys are dynamic. And then someone is even telling me, they said, well, what are you wearing? You know you're going to see Paul. Is your fate, you know, da 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 da. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm going to see Paul. You know, when you develop great friendships with people,
mm-hmm.
Genuine friendships.
Yeah, it's not about what you're wearing.
It's not about any of that.
Yeah, we don't have any of that.
So again, when you're dealing with people, you know my favorite line about people. People are something else.
Yes,
and I'm
they are.
Finding that out every day, whether they're your friends, whether they're your relatives, whether they're your church members. People are something else.
Well, you know, because you've opened your home and you still do. I mean, I've never seen anyone host as many people as you do. And you have the full bar and the food is everywhere and people are just sitting around and listening to music and getting their life and eating crab cakes. Is there ever a time, Darnell, that you feel, because I got burnt out on that mm-hmm. years ago and mm-hmm. I don't really do it anymore. I'm hoping to get back into it. But do you ever feel like when that's not reciprocated, you feel a bit used?
Well, have you noticed that that particular part or portion of my life that it's gotten smaller?
Mm-hmm.
My
mm-hmm.
sets are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm hosting like people that I'm close with, I'm hosting them at my private home.
Yeah.
When I'm hosting parties for either fundraisers or philanthropy or just someone that I might know, I host those parties at the gallery. So mm-hmm. so you have to define personal space.
Sure.
And in defining personal space, you know, and I can attest to this with you because we're close. I mean, we're just giving people. Yeah. We just love people. And at one point, I remember my third grade teacher telling me, she said, oh, he'd be at the carryout. Just say, oh, I'm having a party. Just come on.
Yeah.
Come bring your friends. And really, that is my personality mm-hmm. because we want people to have a great time. We want to basically be that light in, when people are going through so much darkness. But when you find out, again, the older you get, the more you become, you know, acclimated into whatever you are doing. You understand that, no, everyone is not for you. No, everyone does not appreciate the gifts that you bring.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to kind of sit back and you have to analyze. You have to actually do a checklist of friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
Is this
and the
person
quality
really,
of the friendships.
Absolutely.
Because, and for me, I think that you have to go through something to really realize
you must
who your friends are, because when everybody's flying high and riding high and great health, flush, in a good relationship, you know, pocket full of money, I mean, everybody seems like your best friend.
Paul, it's easy to be your friend. It's easy to be my friend. I've always had the house. I've always had the car, whether it's an apartment, whether it was a room, whether it was, I've always known how to throw some food together. I've always been resourceful enough that I can make things happen. So it's easy to be my friend.
Sure.
It's easy to be your friend.
Until?
Until.
Yes.
Like,
come on.
Like in the last few months when I, you know, when I lost my dad, when the bar closed, when the building sold, and I'm finding myself like, what am I going to do next? What to do? Where am I at? Da 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 da. That's when you really found out your friends. And I love the fact that my friends now, they insist, look, I'm taking you out. I got the check. You
absolutely
always take the check. And it feels good to let someone else pay for you sometimes.
It really does.
Well, we fight over the check all the time.
Right.
I mean, I'm like, Paul, you treated the last... I said, no, you treated the last three times. She said, no, bitch, I was over your house the other day. We had five bottles of champagne. But in friendships, in real relationships, you really don't... It's just... You just want to just make sure that your friend is having a good time and it's not a tit for tat. But there is that unspoken rule.
Okay, what is it?
And that unspoken rule is you can be in relationships with people... just say there are four couples. And one couple... Just say we're at the Four Seasons and we're having dinner. This is what... March. Let's say next month a couple invites you. It's like there you do know your turn. Now you may not act like it's nothing has been written down. We have never discussed it, but you knew Paul took that check last month.
Sure.
You knew Sally took that check the month before last. This is the third month, darling. It's your turn.
Well, you know, and I want to talk about that for a moment because there's something really interesting. I'll tell you, I was in the Hamptons last summer and I was out with two wealthy couples. There were two wealthy couples. I was a single guy and there was a single girl. And we went to an extremely expensive restaurant. I think the bill was like $2,000 for the dinner. So we're sitting there. The check comes and the two men pull out their credit card. I pull mine out and so does the girl next to me. And the guy next to me said, split this four ways. So basically... The couples counted as one, and then me and the single girl, you know, we paid for ours and then some of theirs too.
Wait a minute, is this so? You're with wealthy people too?
Oh, extremely.
So the person that actually said that was this person? Did this person have like a lot of money?
Or? Yeah.
And they said that. Wow, that was different.
What's that? But isn't it odd? Do you know what I'm saying in terms of the numbers? It's like the couples counted as one, so they just. They threw their credit card in. It's like, okay, this is for us two. This is for those two. And then me and the single girl, we split it equally. Four ways. I don't know. Little things like that. People just need to be more mindful,
that's,
I guess.
That's wrong.
It's wrong.
That's
absolutely
wrong.
And especially when you take somebody and suggest that you're going to this place where the dinner is $2,000. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Oh, we don't even want to go into that. Because I have a problem with... A few weeks ago, I was invited. Someone was celebrating their birthday there with the W, and so people get so excited when they hear these names. Oh, Paul is celebrating, or Kelly is celebrating her birthday at the W, and so people get so excited. Well, what's so exciting about you going to the W and at the end of the night, your part of the bill is $160,
yes,
and you're celebrating someone's birthday. When you're celebrating a birthday, or when you're inviting someone, or you're inviting a group out, if you're not taking the check, then it's always good to go somewhere kind of modest.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you can't assume that a person is in a position to actually spend $160 or $200 or hell, you had a $2,000 place. So basically, you had to put plus the gratuity.
Yeah.
But so a lot of us are not, especially as entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
We're not in a position to go out and spend $500.
Well, let me tell you something. And the way I think about $500 is, do you know how many face cleansers I have to sell for that? Do you know how many moisturizers or candles I have to sell?
Do you know how many bottles of champagne I can go into the liquor store and buy and lay on my couch and lay in my pajamas and watch Judge Judy?
We all have our priorities.
Yeah, I'm not into spending my $500 to sit around a whole bunch of bougie rich people. But again, everyone is different. But I do believe that that needs to be addressed. Now, the other thing that needs to be addressed.
Yes.
When you're going to a dinner party and there's 20 people at that table and, you know, some people
at a restaurant?
No, at a restaurant.
Okay.
Some people don't drink. Some people may not. Some people only eat salads. I know people that don't eat like full course meals or whatever. whatever. And the old me would just like, you know what? I don't have time for all of this. Just spit the check down the middle. Let's just spit the check 20 ways. But now when I go out to restaurants and I'm with a group of 10 people, it can be 8 people, it can be 20 people. As soon as I sit at that table, I tell the waiter, I say, I will be on a separate check.
Yeah.
So just in case I might have to leave early, just in case.
Because what about these restaurants that say we don't do separate checks?
Oh, you're going to give me a separate check. Mm-hmm. You can do a separate check.
Sure.
You can do a separate check.
Sure.
Or I can just order, especially when it comes down to drinks. Now, if I know what you don't want to be petty, but if I ordered, let's say the special was filet mignon, you get 4 courses for $49.
Sure.
I know what my $49 is. I know what to include in the gratuity and tip. And then I order my drinks from the bar.
Sure.
So there's always a way that you can actually kind of, in your head, calculate what your portion of the bill is.
Yeah, so, Jack, you're a pretty easygoing guy. We're kind of complex over here. Now, what do you think in terms of when you go out with your friends, is it easy breezy, or do you feel like you run into some of these same issues?
No, I don't run into these issues. And if I have friends that are not easy about it, then I know what I'm getting into.
Right.
When I go out with them, I'm like, okay, I know what this is going to be, so maybe I'm going to end up paying more, but that's just what it is when I go out with this person.
Right. So you and your friends, you say, oh, I'll Cash App you, I'll Venmo you, and somebody just picks it up?
Yeah. 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 Isn't that usually me, so I can get those Sky Miles.
I get it.
I like that.
Well, I think it's time for us all to really take an honest, close look at the friends we have in our lives.
I've
been thinking about that more and more lately, and it's not about the quantity. I remember being like having my 25th birthday, and MTV, I had done Made. It was so successful that MTV threw me a birthday party.
Wow.
In the Meatpacking District at a place called Meat. And my friend Patrick Duffy hosted it, and he pulled it all together, and MTV paid for it, and they sent an S-Class, and they had the cameras outside. It was like my Sweet 16 at 25. And I remember walking into that party and seeing all those people, most of whom I did not know.
I've been there, done that.
And I was thinking, wow, this is success. I have all of these people here to celebrate my party. And so for years after that, 26, 27, 30, 30, it was always a huge party. Oh, I need to have a big party. And I'm paying for shit, and I'm booking big places.
Absolutely.
And you know, over the last several years, maybe 4 or 5 years, I started to think, why am I doing this? Like, I'm throwing this huge party for 100, 150, 200, however many people. They come, whether I pick the whole check up or pay for the appetizers and some of the drinks or whatever. I'm always extending a lot.
Absolutely.
But I don't hear from those people.
Absolutely.
After the birth, it's like, I don't know these people.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
It's not about the quantity. And I had to learn that. It took me years to understand that my success in relationships, in friendships, had nothing to do with how many people were around or calling or came to my birthday party.
Correct.
It's when real life happens, when you are concerned about your health, when you're lonely, when you're depressed, or even when you want to genuinely celebrate a triumph, who do you call?
Your core group. It can be on one hand. Mm-hmm. It may be on two hands. But I was the same way. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was hosting parties at the Willard Hotel. I was hosting parties at the Watergate. And I'm just like, I mean, you know, I just have this thing for champagne. All premium, love champagne, open bar, whatever. A lot of that, though, I don't think it's even for... I don't think it's for validation. I really think, because I know you personally, we have a great relationship, the way we know each other. I really think that we just are just very giving people.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is just in our DNA. I don't think we were younger than two.
Sure.
And we were looking at things a little different. But now that we are a little older, we can really appreciate like the intimate dinner parties that we often go mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. Where it may be 10 of us, it may be 6 of us, mm-hmm. but we're just there laughing and talking and having cocktails and eating great food, And so when you get older, I think things change a little bit. It's just the way it goes. So I used to beat myself up about it, because there are times, like, you know, I had to pay a bill the other day, and I was like, shit, all that money I spent on these damn people for all those parties. But again, it made us who we are now. So now I can honestly wear that. The ultimate host hat, because sure. I know how to host. You know how to host. But what we host, the way we host now, we are hosting people that we truly love. Absolutely. And truly adore, not just a whole bunch of strangers.
You know, it's interesting in DC, there are groups of friends and social groups, and I'm kind of connected on both sides.
You're so very connected on both sides.
The society, whomever, the people that the magazines follow and all that kind of stuff. And then there's lobbyists and the upper crust kind of black community, and they kind of all stick together. And then there's a few little offshoot groups. But it's interesting to me. I've really been thinking a lot about friendships and relationships, and I don't want to throw anything away. It's just that I've changed.
Yes.
It's just that I've changed. You know, I used to just roll hard with these groups of people, and when I want to go, I go now, and when I don't, I don't. But it's interesting to me that the same groups of people have been dealing with each other for 20 years.
Yes.
How do you change and keep the same friend, all the same friends?
Do they really consider themselves like friends, or are they social friends?
I think that
you can be friends, mm-hmm. or you can be social friends. Like I used to, my father, God rest his soul, Milton Perkins. I wrote this before on one of my posts, and I remember I used to call that's my friend. Oh, that's my friend Jen. Oh, that's my friend Paul. Oh, that's my friend Gary. That's my friend whoever. And so my father, actually, he was just like, well, you sit down. What do you define a friend?
Sure.
Do you know their parents?
Yeah.
Have you been in their home?
Absolutely.
Have you met their relatives? Have you all really just sat down? I mean, it takes a lot to use that word friendship. I tell you, there are a lot of people in Washington that we would meet out. And like I said, I know the same social group that you're talking about, because we have a lot of mutual friends. But everyone is always meeting out somewhere. Do these people entertain in their home? I mean, a lot of people, I have no idea where they live. They know where I live. Mm-hmm. They've been in my home. So you cannot, you have to really, really compartmentalize who is who. Is this my social friend? Is this my work friend? Sure. Or is this like my friend?
Right.
You know, there's a big difference.
It's interesting how our parents instinctually, because they know us so well,
yes.
and they love us so much, because you were just talking about your dad. And I know my mom will say, I'll say, oh, I'm going to this person's event, or we're going to go away for the weekend. And she says, huh. I don't know about that. I mean, I think she's for self. And, you know, my mom will
listen.
Go on, and I'll say, no, she's a good friend. And she, every time, my mother is right.
Absolutely.
And I used to defend these people down to my mother. No, this is my friend, and I just wish she would respect my friends.
Absolutely.
And we love each other, and she's always there for me. I would have to go and sit by myself for a moment and say,
she was right.
She was right.
She was right.
Sometimes I would know right then, and sometimes it would take more experiences for me to realize my mother was right. This is a fair weather friend.
Absolutely. And we don't need fair weather friends. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you have to put people in the category they belong. And it's not a good or bad thing. It's just, you know, we're cool. We can meet out for a cocktail. We can do this. But, you know, and especially when it comes down to people coming into your personal space, mm-hmm. I had to learn that the hard way. oh, whosoever will let them come. Well, whosoever will let them come should not all be welcomed in your home.
Yes.
Because your home is your sanctuary.
Sure.
So in your home, that's where, like, my friends like Paul, right, my girlfriend like Lori, mm-hmm, and Chaka, mm-hmm, and so many wonderful people, Mikey, Ashley, those people, we like, meet me at the house. But see, I'm the type of friend, because I like to cook for my friends.
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily meet out so much at restaurants, because I'm home in that kitchen cutting potatoes.
And making crab cakes. Well, listen, a person that's gone through a lot this week, but actually seemingly had a pretty good week, was Jussie Smollett. So we're not going to spend a bunch of time on this. You know, we had Monique in before, and we talked about this. I think you and I talked about this on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Jussie, all the charges were dropped against him,
mm-hmm,
this week. You have the president, who also seemingly had a good week, because the Mueller report said there was no collusion. Now, the president is tweeting today that the FBI is going to look further into the Jussie Smollett case. So it seems he's the only one that can get off scot-free. And he's mad that Jussie called in Mark Garagos. Whatever happened, nobody knows, because the case was sealed, just like Donald Trump's school records. Do you know what I'm saying?
And his taxes.
So it ain't no fun for him when the black guy gets off. What do you think about that?
Whether it's the president, whether it's Jussie, whether it's whoever, I just believe that people that are in power and people that have money, a lot of times they can get away with things that the normal person cannot get away with. But again, you know, with Jussie, I believe that it was bad, but it still does not say that he was innocent. So his name is still, in my opinion, kind of
well,
shot.
Well, it doesn't say that he's innocent. In fact, he came out of the courtroom, and I think he made a terrible decision to take to the mic and make another public statement
saying,
as I said, I have told the truth from the very beginning. I wouldn't be my mother's son if I could even do an inkling of what I've been accused of doing. Of course, that started a hellfire back in the Chicago PD. So then they came back out and said, we cannot believe that this man is out here still talking about he's innocent. Just because the charges were dropped does not mean he's innocent.
Absolutely.
The mayor came out, the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, he came out with the same thing, just saying, we cannot believe this guy. So sometimes it's better to know when to shut the hell up.
Just be quiet. Just be quiet. What's his name again? Jussie
Smollett.
I was calling him Jussie Phuket.
He might have to go with that name to have an acting career after this. Do you know the new actor, Jussie Phuket?
But again, rich people problems.
Yeah.
Connected people problems.
Well, let me tell you something. After Mark Garagos, he may not be rich too much longer. Because that is a hell of a bill. I'm sorry. Ain't that much money on Empire. You got to split that thing 20 different ways.
But from my understanding, I think he still has a job. I believe he still has a job.
The show is done shooting for the season. There have been rumors that the show may not get picked up again next season. I mean, who the hell watches? Who watches that show? If you watch, let me know.
I have not watched Empire in the last... I have not watched it any of this season.
Jack, do you watch?
No, I don't.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Jack, what do you watch on Wednesday?
I don't watch Pornhub. No, come on. I like films more than I like TV. I don't really watch TV.
What do you are you a Netflix guy?
Not really like that. No.
Wow.
I know.
Do you read?
Yeah, I read. I mean,
that sounds like he doesn't.
I make music when I'm home.
Oh, so yeah, you do stuff like that.
I do stuff like that. Yeah.
You know what's so interesting? And I'm going way off the plan of what we wanted to talk about, but I have a life coach. I didn't realize she was my life coach because she's such a great friend of mine. Her name is Jemma Jha.
Mm-hmm.
I met Jemma Jha when I was 19 years old and I had first moved to New York City. At the time, she was working she had just finished working for the Terry Williams PR agency. Terry Williams was a huge black publicist,
mm-hmm,
that represented Bill Cosby and all the big black stars in New York City. And she was looking for a career change. We end up meeting, and she was going through leaving her husband and all this kind of stuff. We became the best of friends.
Awesome.
So lately, I'll tell you something. I have been in a bit of a not an existential crisis, but just really trying to figure out why I feel like, even though I'm busy, to me, I don't feel like I'm personal, like I'm evolving, like I'm, like the growth is happening, like the movement is happening.
Well, that's because you're always working. You're always moving. I'm the total opposite. You're always involved in something. You don't sit down. You don't, and sometimes you just have to just, well, you know what, let me take that back, because you do take your vacations. Mm-hmm. But when you're not vacationing, you're always on the go.
But the thing about it is, this is the conversation that she brought up to me the other day. And she said, you know, I wanted to wait till the right time because I didn't want to offend you. And she says, I watched your post on Instagram. But I feel like I just want to make sure that you feel like you are moving forward. And it feels like, I said, no, I don't. She says, well, what happened to your passion projects? Because when you were living in New York, or even when you moved back down to D.C. and you did the Paul Wharton style show, I was really proud of that. Being able to go to General Motors and get the funding for that and make that show and write it and produce it and see it on the air and the billboards. Yeah. You know, that was a passion project that I saw through to the end. The book was a passion project. The Patti LaBelle show was a passion project. But for me, I'm not working on a passion project right now. Do you know what I mean? Wow. Like the new book, I'm not that into it. I'm not that deep with it yet. I think I'm making decisions for work based on just strictly finance. I know I need this, so I do that.
Wow, and you do it so well.
Well, thank you.
But what about, you just did the candle thing, you do Pour One Home.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, but for me, it's like, that's not challenging enough for me. Because what she said really resonated with me, but it hadn't come to me clearly. Like, I need to always have something cooking that is my passion project.
Well, we do have something cooking. We're not going to discuss it. but we do have something cooking. And I believe before I came in here, mm-hmm. I actually put something on my Instagram and I just said, keep pushing, keep fighting.
Yes.
And just keep doing what you're doing. It's all going to fall in all into place. By the way, this is just totally off the record. I love your shoes.
Tom Ford.
I love your shoes. And so the day I come over in here to the Lion Hotel, I've been working, I'm staging a project, and I come in my bedroom slippers, of course, and he decides to put on his Tom Ford. And I'm just like across from him, and I'm looking at these amazing, you know, I love a good loafer.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, those are gorgeous.
A good little pump there. That's my little Tom Ford pumps,
darling,
baby.
You look amazing. Why isn't this podcast, why can't people see us? Because I put my face on and everything.
People
really need to kind of...
Because not everybody comes in here in Tom Ford shoes.
You know? Yeah, but hey, Jack, I come in here in my Jimmy Choo Foxleys and my little things. I mean, we need to figure out a way that where people can see us.
Jack, is there any way for us to figure that out? It's a long story.
We'll talk.
We'll talk because we need to be seen.
My mom says this to me every week. She's like, which podcast is this? The one where you can't be seen or the one where they see, you know, Sarah's is on video. I'm like, mine, mom, the one where we have no cameras.
We're the type of queens. We like to be seen.
Yes. And we like to show off a little bit. So earlier in the week, I did a segment on Good Morning Washington.
I saw that. Oh, that was cute.
Wasn't it cute?
That was so cute.
Oh, I got all the little stuff out, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I talked about how to spruce your house up for spring because, you know, spring is a great time.
Who did those arrangements?
Lee's Flower Shop on U Street.
Lovely. Shout out to Lee's Flower. And you know, they have been
shout
there.
Out to the daughters.
Since the 40s. Yes, since the 40s. Shout out to Lee's Flowers.
I love them. If you need flowers in D.C., Lee's is the place to go.
Oh,
and
Lee's
it looks
amazing.
So expensive, but their prices are phenomenal.
They are phenomenal.
Aren't they great?
I love Lee's. I should have known.
You should have known.
They are gorgeous. They were. Well, the setting was gorgeous.
So that beautiful, you know, I talked about a few splurge items. I went over to Mitchell Gold, you know, Mitchell Gold and Bob Williams.
Yeah,
of 14th Street.
The chairs that's in the gallery are Bob Mitchell.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely.
So the textured vase, I got like a bright lime textured vase. And I really love lucite and glass because I feel like when you bring that into your home and put it on your tabletops and that bright light hits it and reflects off of it, you know, to me, that's spring.
Absolutely.
You know, not everything can be pastel and bright colors, but I like to mix that in. And then West Elm. You know, when I moved back to New York in 2013 and got that beautiful apartment with the terrace.
Yes.
So I had a 1,200 square foot terrace on 53rd Street overlooking the Hudson River with nothing above me. I mean, glass surrounded, just beautiful. I went to West Elm. I bought two outdoor bars. I had two outdoor bars all in my seating and the outdoor rug and the couch and the chairs. And it was just fabulous.
Yes.
It was just fabulous. And that's when I first discovered West Elm, because it looks like a place that's a bit more expensive than it really is.
Yeah, because, like, what's the place over there on 14th? Is that Room and Board?
Room and Board, right.
A lot of those places can be a little costly.
It's a little costly. But, you know, I like to pull out, and you probably do this too, in the spring. I love big trays anyway. But I brought this big tray. It was called the Deco Handle Tray. It was $89, that big wooden tray.
Really?
Was $89.
Oh, wow, that's a steal.
And then, you know, in the spring, you can... you can entertain a bit more casually. So, you know, you put the plates on there and the utensils, and it had this porcelain hurricane. It was only $23.
Wow.
Wasn't that fabulous? Hey, those hand-painted bowls were beautiful at $8 each. So West Elm, I mean, I want to definitely shout them out. But I love to just put all of that. You know, you have your vase with your, we had fresh tulips. You have the plates and the beautiful napkins. And you just let your guests kind of pull their plate and their utensil and their napkin off and just serve themselves, and you just make it easy.
Yeah, well, we all know you love to over-entertain. I'll never forget. I told this story probably maybe a couple podcasts ago, and Paul, he called me. He says, are you coming over for brunch? I went over to the house. I tell you, it was like a table setting for like 20 people. I mean, he made like everything. All of the dishes were out. All of the chafing and da, 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 da. And so I said to him, I said, who else is coming? And he says, oh, it's just you.
You're worth it. Like the commercial says, you're worth it.
No, that's just what you do.
And that's what you do as well. Maybe that's my passion project. Maybe we should be, you know, two flaming queens, literally, in that kitchen with the flame going. Huh? Do you love it?
Am I flaming?
No, honey.
I said I'm not flaming, honey. I'm not a flaming queen.
Well,
no,
speaking,
I am.
A little bit.
I am so gay.
You're
oh my
gay,
God.
But in a very good way.
Oh, I love being gay.
You know what's so funny about you being gay is I've never really seen these guys that you're with. Like, I know that they exist.
Why would you want to see the guys that I'm with?
Well, I would.
Why would you need to see the guys that I'm with?
Well, you never bring anybody out on a date where I could see them and
yeah,
meet
why,
them.
Yeah, why would I do that?
So you're not that kind of, you're
no,
not that, that
I'm
type.
No, I'm not that type of gay.
Really?
No.
No long-term?
I want to keep my pieces to myself because I know the girls. Oh, darling. If I don't know anyone else, I know the girls. Keep your pieces at home and hidden.
And you never post them up or tag them.
If you are out with your piece and don't have to pee and go to the restroom.
Any moment you step away.
Any moment you step away, darling, that piece is shared property. Now, how about that?
Jack,
I'm sorry.
Jack, does this happen in your world?
I cannot comment. No.
This is the way we talk in private. I mean, hello.
This is great radio.
Well, no, I'm happy because we like such different types of guys. You know, so I would never go after your piece, but them other ones might.
Sweetie, like, how would you know if you're going to go after my pieces or not? I don't bring my pieces around.
Well, you've described them.
Yeah. Oh, I love. Got a roughneck. Gotta have a roughneck.
You met them all at either the gas station, 7-Eleven, or the grocery store. I'm like, three places, Giant Food, Exxon, and 7-Eleven. Three places I do not go.
No, let me tell you something. No, the old me, mm-hmm. the new me, I try to at least get someone who at least has a job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, can at least, you know, Uber their way over instead of, you going to Uber me over?
But do you anyway? Yeah.
No, not.
You put him in a share.
Not. Did I tell you the one experience I had with the share?
No, I have not done that. I just can't bring
myself
to. Sweetie,
I don't know if I pushed. No, you know what? I did not push the wrong button. I just had, I wanted to experience the share. I just wanted to see, like, what is the share thing? I know it was during a, you know, you read the rates. Mm-hmm. One rate said 24 something, mm-hmm. and the other one rate said 11. I said, well, let me just see what this $11 yeah, rate is going to do. Yeah. I will never what? Do that 11, do that share rate again.
Were you in the front or
no,
the back?
I was in the back. And I was rushing. I think I probably had to meet you. I think I was meeting someone at the Kennedy Center, and so me
driver,
rushing.
Driver, turn left. No, turn left.
Me rushing.
Driver.
The driver. The driver ended up picking "God Bless This Little Senior Citizen." So the person came out in a walker, walking like one, working like two steps per 3 minutes.
Oh no!
And then the driver had to get out, take the person's walker, put the walker inside, and then drop the then drop that person off first.
Oh no!
And it was just really not a good experience at all. No shared.
Yeah, no shared.
No shared.
That's
but
crazy.
Speaking of what we were just talking mm-hmm. about, when we were talking about like the past and what mm-hmm. you know, the new, like we're much older now, yeah. Dealing with friendships, dealing with relationships or whatever, we see things very differently.
Absolutely.
And I remember we were just talking the other night when we were at dinner, and we just what, 2 days ago, yesterday, mm-hmm. And we were talking about Cardi B.
Yes.
And that situation with Cardi B, and you were like, well, what do you think about that? You know, she's really getting a lot of, you know, because what did she say? She drugged people and she stole from
right.
them. And she
so for the people that don't know, Cardi B, as you all probably know, is back in the news because an old video resurfaced where she said when she was a stripper, she would take guys who wanted to sleep with her to a hotel room and she would drug them and then rob them. And she posted this a few years ago. Actually, a lot of people thought that that was a current video. She was responding to someone else's claim that she had an easy ride to success. So she came back out like, no, I absolutely did not. She was saying all this stuff, and now it's back in the news. And people are saying, is it fair that people like Bill Cosby and some of the guys in the Me Too movement that have been, you know, going to jail, is it fair for a guy to drug a woman? Is it fair for Cardi to then, should she get the same treatment as Bill and some of the other guys? That's what the question is right now. And I have an opinion on that, but what's yours?
Well, my opinion on that is we all have a past.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We all have a past. Good or bad, we all have a past. And I just believe that your past is your past. We all grow from our past. And you can't say, like, there are things that I've done that I'm not, like, I've shoplifted. I mean, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to, you know, someone coming up, I become this really rich person and all of a sudden all of my shit is exposed. But yeah. But also, I'm going to tell you this, it's better to expose your shit before someone else brings it up.
Right.
In my opinion. But when it comes down to Cardi B and Bill, I don't know. I just think the standards are just different
for
men and
for women.
Well,
to me, it's a little different because I don't even know if it's for men and women, but for me, it's a position of power. Bill Cosby was in a position of power, and he wielded that power to lure these women in, and a lot of these guys were in a position of power. That's what Me Too is really all about. You know, I am powerful. You come to me. I'm going to give you a career. Here, drink this. And you know, these women are in a vulnerable position because they're coming there to hopefully try to upgrade their career, and then they end up being taken advantage of. Cardi B, on the other hand, I guess the power she wielded at the time was her sexuality. But other than
that... Which is power.
Pussy is power, but it's a different kind of power.
Oh, no, it's power.
Well, if a man was going to a hotel room with her, that means he was paying for sex. So
yes.
In a sense, she was a prostitute, right?
Okay.
Can you, if you're going to commit a crime with someone and then they then drug you, I mean, is the one crime worse than the other?
I think it all goes together.
Mm-hmm.
You're stripping, you're tricking, you're in hotels, you know, God knows what else is going on in the hotel room. You just don't know what to expect in that type of environment or in that type of situation. So I wouldn't be shocked if that was happening. But you know what I do like what she said. You know, she would never put any of that in any of her lyrics. That was the old her. You know, what I do like about Cardi is that she's very authentic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she's very, like, if she did it, she's like, I did it. She's not denying it or whatever. And I just commend people for living their truth. I'm disappointed in people who don't live their truth.
Absolutely.
So that's the way I see that. I see the whole situation. But when it comes down to like men with the Me Too movement, and women, I often tell a lot of my guy friends and even some of my staff, the people that I staff who are good looking and young and who move furniture and stuff around for me, and their cell phones are going off all the time, and women are sending them, like, you know, naked pictures, and when are you getting off? You know, I'm ready for daddy, and da 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 da. I know so many men who are sexually harassed all the time. Mm-hmm. So if men were to start this Me Too movement, because you do have a lot of powerful women who are very single, mm-hmm. and who actually are looking for dates, and who actually see men, and which they should see men as like sex symbols, and they are harassing them. They are actually like, look, they're threatening them. Do you know how many cases of men who actually have, because they may not want the woman anymore? It's just a double standard.
Yeah.
That's just my thoughts.
Jack, do you feel like it should work the same for men and women?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I do. The Cardi thing, though, the other thing I want to say about Cardi, and I think you touched on it a little bit, but like, we have been glorifying male rappers forever, mm-hmm. for the cool, like, the badass shit that they do.
Sure.
So don't go singling out Cardi when you got rappers that are
talking
proud.
About killing.
My God, proud, yeah. To be like, yeah, I've killed people.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what this teardrop is all about.
Mm-hmm. I saw somebody say, well, if it was a white man, I'm like, let's talk about Eminem and the things he said and done.
Right.
And then this to get so glorified true. For, come on.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So that's my two cents on the Cardi.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, I mean, I don't think it's going to stop anybody from listening to her music. I think she's fabulous.
It'll get her more listens. So
no, I don't think that.
And you know, the interesting thing about
her name is in the news, right?
It's in the news, and we're talking about it. The interesting thing about Cardi B is, you know, there's like a place in your celebrity where, when you're getting sponsorship deals, you know, in the beginning, you have to almost become a little vanilla. Do you know, like that's. Unfortunately, where I feel like I am sometimes.
Well, tell me, what is a little?
Well, because, you know, you get a few sponsors and you have these different deals. And so you don't want to say too much too far to the left and too much too far to the right.
You have to stay neutral.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because you're not big enough to sustain saying something bad, because they'll drop you like a hot snot. If you push through that moment and you're able to get out on the other side, like The Rock. If you follow The Rock on Instagram, he says whatever he wants. He be cursing. He just says any old thing. You know, it's not like super vulgar, but he just says what he wants. Cardi B is the same way. But they've pushed through to the other side of that, where their careers can sustain a hit or saying something that's not received well in the public eye.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's hard on the side of when you're really making your way up the hill. It's hard to have a completely out there public opinion. And the people that we see that do, a lot of times they're just out there hustling and they don't really have that corporate kind of support.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why I have people like you on to say pussy, fuck, all, you know, so you just say all that.
I'm sorry, and you know what, I have to watch that. I really have to watch that.
My mom told me not to say B anymore.
Oh, no. I know Auntie News that you use that word all the time.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do. Listen, let me tell you something. I could look at you all day.
Oh, I can look at you too, Pauline.
What are we going to do when we become like golden boys in about 20, 30 years?
You drink champagne and go travel and lay on a beach. And
go to the kitchen and eat cheesecake.
And go, no, oh my God, I'm on keto. Am I slimming down?
You are.
I'm trying.
Everybody's talking about it.
I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying to slim down. I have a lot of events that I need to get ready for come spring, summer. And so I need to get into, you know, you can't hide it in cashmere coats and fur wraps.
Listen, I said at the store the other day, I am not going to be the fat friend in the white t-shirt in the pool. No.
Well, you definitely are not the fat friend.
I'm not going to do that. I just want to say thank you to Darnell. I just love, love, love you. Follow him on Instagram at TheDarnell.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And I'm Paul Wharton Style on Instagram. Also follow Politics TV and check out PaulWhartonStyle.com. We have new features daily on PaulWhartonStyle.com that you don't want to miss.
Absolutely.
I know. I love you, babe.
I love you, too.
Thanks, Jack. Bye, guys.
Bye, Jack. Bye, guys. Love you.
He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together.